growth. And I think I would just add to that, I think there's been a long-standing confusion within this organization about what we can. So we are prohibited by law from writing a regulation that is not backed by statute. So part of what you're seeing in some of the changes in these regulations is because we have no maybe there was statutory backing 10 or 12 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 25 years ago, and it's no longer in statute. It has to come out now because it will not pass the governor's office and the governor's regulatory review council. We are mandated by state law to have statutory backing for any piece of regulation that is written.
It will be interesting. We put something in for those who will be instructors in training without a statute backing.
Yeah.
I will be honest, I don't know if that will pass the governor's regulatory review committee. Just what we do have, I don't know if they'll allow us to keep it because there wasn't anything in statute. Yeah. We don't, which is another reason why we're not giving information yet, because we just don't know.
And much of this, because I was hearing you talk about 2000, much of this is these changes happened in the last 8 years under the prior governor's administration. There was a lot of regulatory statutory changes. And the governor's regulatory review council, which I believe has existed for a lengthy period of time, the base of that has changed and they have a very different perspective. So our burden for getting these through is significantly higher at this point.
We want to have some standard, which is why we included it.
Yes.
We'll see what happens.
It's interesting because in my 16 years of being in this industry, I've never once even been educated on this whole part. And I don't educate my students either that they have a voice, that we actually have a voice, but it's never been said to us. We just do our job and we're according to the laws, right? But never did we know. I don't know who knows.
Yes.
It's just never said. And so.
And then to add to that, we have to, as staff, we have to be very careful because we're state employees, right? So
Why mine was a personal comment.
Yeah. You can go back and watch the recording. I've done federal legislative work. I'd never done state legislative work. We went over to listen to the unlicensed worker bill that didn't end up passing. We went over to listen to it. We just wanted to see kind of what the legislature was saying, what they were trying to do. We wanted to hear what the public comment in that session. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, the executive director's here. Why don't you come on up and answer some questions? And so I go up and I'm trying my best to dance and answer only the questions that are being asked of me because I'm prohibited from influencing state statute. We as state employees are prohibited from influencing state statute. And the chair of the committee, even in me answering the questions he was asking me, he actually said out loud, well, I sure hope you're not trying to influence state statute. And I'm like, and I responded with, sir, I'm simply trying to answer the questions that are being asked of me. And so I said all of that, not for poor me, but to say to you that I appreciate hearing you say things like, we didn't understand that, like we were never made aware of the process. That's something that Kelly and I have a strong vision for, of explaining these things to folks, helping people understand what it means to them, helping them to get engaged when those topics of conversation do come up. I've encouraged folks to, the Professional Beauty Association, PBA. If you are not a member, and I don't know what the costs are, I don't know how it all works, but they put out information on bills in Arizona during the legislative session and get information out. I would encourage you to take a look at their webpage so that you see when these things are happening. But all of that to say, we as staff can't fight the battle. You as the industry, members of the industry, have to fight those battles.
So to Frank's point, that is the reason for state associations many yep. times, not just for communication, but for legislation and advocacy for what's happening in your state.
And I apologize, who directed me to Google Chief?
It would be the Regulatory Committee.
It's Regulatory Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives. I kept forgetting the word as you were saying it earlier. I'm like, I know there's another word in there. It's Regulatory Affairs.
May I just add to that comment? So if I understand, and we're all trying to understand law, so that House bill, 2550 passed. This is effective, this is going to be law. In it, section 32519 specifies the creation of an ILS technician, registration, renewal, and registry. And calls out who an ILS technician may be. In it, it says that the board submits to the board satisfactory evidence that the person successfully completed a board-approved training program that has yet to be defined. The board shall require no more than 30 hours. It does say you can increase the hours in training, so it's established at 30. The board shall, a training program shall not be required to be licensed as a school by the board to be approved. Doesn't say it couldn't be licensed by a school to be approved. It just said it doesn't have to be a school. A school could get approved as offering this. So we want to be clear that that's good. The board training program shall provide a provisional registration to the person verifying. So it goes on. So you are yet to still set out this program. So it's under board jurisdiction, which brings us over to, I believe, proposed rulemaking. And that becomes if we want to refer not so much to the House Regulatory, because they're just going to say, hey, we left it to the board to establish this program. Now, in rulemaking under the section, if something B starts on page 1845, now you are defining who the person is that is responsible for teaching it. I think this is in your complete control to establish a qualified educator. So far, we've said a low bar, a labs technician, an esthetician, a cosmetologist. We've not used the word licensed aesthetic instructor. I think maybe we should include those words to be clear that these are welcome parties to teach this and let the market choose who they're going to have train them in the state's desire to keep the public safe. Infection control, as I said, back in 2000, we added 300 hours to improve infection control and safety in nails. 300 hours. We doubled the time to do nails. We take people from another state with a license. I'm from Massachusetts. It's 100 hours. They take the exact same test as we did. They have a license. 100 hours. National Interstate Council, NIC test. They come here, we give them a license. They trained for 100, we have to train for 600. Somebody comes from another country, another state, they take a 1 hour infection protection class. And what they do is they read a piece of paper. The book is 47 pages long, giving the names of bacteria and virus and the colors and where they live and who they're dating, what they had for lunch. They wash your hands. Make sure you disinfect them properly. It doesn't have to be barbicide. It has to be an EPA register. Now, we've even taken out the word years out of fungicide effect. We're stripping it down, but people still don't wash their hands. They're missing the point. So let's get, I think we have a good moment here to get the point right. We could go back, I should maybe go back and read it. And as Magali said, it's difficult reading statute and legislation at any level. But right, we have to speak out on reciprocity. I mean, make it fair. Make them take the test. Make them do more or equal to what you're requiring of our own state citizens who are trying to do it right. Yeah, so this, I think it's right there and we have to address this, but that's to the board. And I heard in the meeting the other day that there's a school participant who's spearheading this. Now, are we left?
That's separate. That's legislative. That's legislative. This is rules. There's two separate.
So we just went through the website and make our comments here.
So I will say we thank you for your comments. All well taken. Just to clarify, right? The legislation gave us a board approved training. There was nothing in there that says you have to license an instructor for the board approved training. We are trying to put something in here. We will make our case in front of the governor's regulatory review council of why there needs to be an instructor. I can make no decisions about including instead of instructors, but I hear your comment. I want to be very clear. I hear that. So where was I going with all this? So with this combined board, this is our first time of looking at proposed changes for our Arizona administrative codes. There are some code changes we can't make until there's some statute changes. So that we were required to combine our Arizona administrative code and this new consolidated board very quickly. This is kind of step one. We're in the process of going back to the statutes. Again, that has to go through a legislative process. We will propose to them through that legislative subcommittee that we have on the board what our proposed changes are. There will be public comment. My guess is if they take that up in the legislature, we'll let you know about that, right? Then after those statutes are changed, we can come back to these Arizona administrative code, these rules, and make more changes. And we'll go through this process again. So we're kind of doing it step by step of what we can. My entire intent of telling you this is that this is not the end.
Yeah.
There will be more changes coming. And again, our commitment is to be as communicative and transparent to our licensees as we can, so we can get that input.
And I think I'm going to play devil's advocate, the personal side, not a board opinion side of things for just a moment. The instructor license requires 350 hours. I think it's going to be a tough pill for anyone to swallow, requiring it to be a licensed instructor for a 30-hour registration program. So I want to be clear. I, from a health and safety standpoint and everything else, I 100%.
Not requiring them to teach it, but to sign off. Like, yes, I know her work, I know her quality, I know her patient infection control. Okay. That's just having, you're going to,
And I wasn't even proposing that it be a requirement, either sign off or in any way to teach it. It just feels now that they are excluded. And I think include them and say, or a license.
Oh, I include myself.
But if it's not in the law and you are not practicing lashes for 2 years, I mean, even the 2 year lash experience. So anybody who has been doing lashes right or wrong can now teach it. Right or wrong, there was no verification. As a licensed instructor, they understand the quality versus the process. So I just feel, I'm not saying make it a requirement, I'm saying don't exclude them. And it feels like the language right now is exclusionary to a license. Why not let them teach it? It's not, and then the market has a choice. But otherwise, they are left to their own device. And I think, like, we pull up the picture of pretty eyelashes, and we start pulling up the pictures of disease and infection and their prevalence. I wish we would see more nail disease and infection rather than for the neck. But we don't want to scare away the whole market. But it seems exclusionary. That's my opinion.
And but I do appreciate this, that they are requiring the 2 year requirement, because I've worked with many other instructors who get lucky. Okay. So I do like that they are requiring some type of experience.
Yeah. I love the process too. I think it's fascinating. I think we all should be better versed in this. We have a great industry, we have a great state. I will be more friends than him.
It's great. Come to our board meetings, right? We do accept public comment at the end of our board meetings. They're always the third Friday of every month. We start at 9, depending on how many cases we have to see. It's also sometimes interesting to see what cases are coming before the board, why they're coming before the board. But there is a public comment at the end. The end might be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. The board doesn't respond, but they will hear public comments.
Sometimes in the law, it seems Now technicians, we've always kind of been in the building. Cosmetology, protocol, but they use the word cosmetology, and I can't tell if that's inclusive, because we don't have the same rights as a cosmetologist, but limited from year to year. I mean, as we look through the textbooks that are being written, they're getting worse, they're just adding more and more science, and the more it's better, it's really quite simple process. Meaning disinfectant, sterilize. But, so the board, for example, when there's a vacancy, I understand it's by appointment from the governor. There are only two or three industry personnel, the others four are non-industry personnel. But it sends a licensed cosmetologist, a licensed barber. Would I be, if there were an opening, as a licensed nail technician, school owner? But I'd say I can't go as a school owner because there already is one. Would I be on the board as a nail technician or a nail instructor, or am I excluded? Again, nail always, just so I gotta pose that question, because it seems the requirements for the board have excluded nails to a great degree, and we are one of the fastest growing industry behind the, I mean, Cosmo, or Aspies were like, 25,000 or something, I don't know, it's a school, there's a lot of them, yes. They're like 20 to 1 over now.
So I need to look at, because again, that's set by statute, the board membership is set by statute. I think it's two licensed industry members, two school industry members, and five public members. And those five public members can't be associated with the industry. Because we're struggling. We're struggling to fill that fifth public member vacancy. And by we, I mean the governor's office is struggling to fill that fifth vacancy, because there's lots of licensed folks that are interested. I get requests every week, but that the statute is very specific in stating it can't be an industry person. And I'm trying to pull the statute up right now so I can.
I have it in front of me.
I think in the industry, they specify barber, they specify cosmetologist, but nowhere is the word nail. So I feel like I can't be part no matter what, even if there was a vacancy in industry. Possibly as a school owner, but it says a cosmetology school owner or a barber school owner. Do I include it as a nail school owner?
So you are correct about that. That is in statute. These oral proceedings are for that, but I am definitely taking that into consideration in what we'll put before our board.
Going forward, you know, the nails represent.
For aesthetic, I agree. Because we use the term cosmetology from that previous board that oversees nail technology, hairstylist, esthetician, cosmetologist. So we do use that as a very general term for all of those. But to your point, I think on board representation, that makes a lot of sense. That's a personal comment.
Thank you for clarifying.
I mean, I think we should be pushing forward, and I like the idea that the board's goal is to reduce barriers to gainful employment. I get a lot of estheticians who want to add nails. I will accept transfer hours. The baseline of state infection controls are the same for every site. The baseline of life skills. The chemistries are very different. The books are really written. They slow them all into one book and said, find your stuff in the middle of this book. But what did I want to say there?
I'm going to make one other comment too about the eyelash stuff. That's again, not necessarily related to, it's not related to the proposed rulemaking here. But as I mentioned in my opening, I've been here 19 months next week. We have had a board meeting except 2 months, all but two of those months that I've been here. And we are not receiving a lot of complaints about eyelashes. So I fully hear people's concern, but then when I take a step aside and try to find the objectivity around what does that look like for us? I actually honestly don't think that in the 17 board meetings that we've had in the 19 months I've been here, I don't recall there being a single case of eyelash malpractice that's come before the board in those 19 months. I'm not saying it, to be clear, I'm not saying it's not out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not coming before the board for, it's not getting to, the complaints aren't being made.
Yeah, and from what I mentioned earlier, we're more about the point of the health of the natural lash, not the much light infections and things like that. And clients don't know that. They don't know what their natural lashes look like, healthy or not healthy when they're getting lash extensions on. I only know because I've corrected that. But yeah, so that's where my comment from that came from.
Fair.
That really requires the technician to really take their time and want to do quality work.
I remember my thought, and as you continue the process of improving our rules and board code, reciprocity, transfer of hours, we allow FC now, it's all, and I believe now a barber who comes to nail school, I could accept at the school's discretion the transfer of hours. We create the number, and they've never done nails, but they all had a baseline and say, yep. I get now certified nursing assistants, dental assistants. I want to come to nail school, can't give them any credit. They've read the whole science book. They know infection control. Can we somehow going forward consider to include those with a medical background? An investigator told me I'm not a nurse. So, well, a nurse doesn't even need a license. They can do whatever they want.
But that's changed.
I didn't know. I don't know where I could find it in law. But obviously, there's a practical side, which everybody wants to learn for performance and protecting the natural. But I just thought, if you're open to comments going forward, I would consider those who can demonstrate textbook work in infection control or life skills from other life disciplines. Let them in our industry. People are becoming very mobile and they want out of that rigidity, and we're blocking them, and yet accepting somebody from another state with a $35 application. I'm going to say, not on a soapbox, but it can be improved. I hope we can improve it. And my school's for sale.
That's funny.
Then, can I come in as a public member?
Yes.
You should be on record with that.
All right. Any other comments? You're welcome to stay. We're going to stay for about another 30 minutes just in case anybody else shows up.
Are you having lunch?
I wish, right? Those state government budgets, they don't give us any money for food.
I just appreciate that you guys allow us to come in here and do this. At first I was like, oh no, this was a waste of a 2-hour drive, but it wasn't at all. I've worked so much and now it's really making me actually more interested. And to be able to pass this knowledge on to the students that are in school right now, so they can have a voice in the future.
I have a vision.
I was going to say.
Around a reignited partnership with our school licensees. I am personally handling all school related items right now because we've had some staffing changes. So I am personally doing that. I was at an industry event in Sholo last Monday, a week and a half ago now. And we are slowly trying to reignite that partnership, get out in the community, be true partners with our schools, also doing some like public awareness type items, doing just really starting to get our hands wrapped around that as a consolidated team. So including the barber schools, including the nail schools, because I think there's only a handful of you even. So it's not a vision of mine, it's a passion of mine, that type of partnership. So it's coming, but we're trying to do too much right now. And Kelly keeps kicking me under the table, telling me we need to slow down a little bit.
While our staff is getting very much change fatigue, and I can't remember what's new, what's old, what are we doing now, what is, you know, so.
So we're working on IT system right now, we're working on these regulatory changes right now, we're working on proposed legislative changes right now, so we just have so much.
But we also do have a vision about in the future doing educational webinars.
Yeah.
That will be online. I think this type of topic of legislation and how it works and statute and Arizona Administrative Code might be a really good one. We were thinking about, right, we're not there yet, because we've got so much, but even looking at our inspections and the things that come up the most that are coming before the board, so we can do educational webinars about how do you not do this so you don't come before our board. We don't actually want to see people before our board, right? And for the most part, 91% of our establishments are in compliance. It's a wonderful thing. We always have a vision of just getting better.
That'd be good, because I think you become more of Arizona State Board, more of a don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Don't lose your life. Don't. It's almost like we become like, yeah, we fear you guys. We don't have anything that we're like, you don't want the board near you.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be like that. I really shouldn't. I try to help my users that want to open up. I try to do an inspection for them to help them. But it that would be amazing. That would be.
We're putting together a self-inspection sheet for the different industries, so you can kind of know like what our inspectors are going to be looking for and kind of do your own self-inspection sheet. So we're working on that as well.
Okay, well, I'm waiting.
Actually, probably in any day thing. Like that's, I think it's drafted. We're just waiting to make sure.
We very much are passionate about partnering with our industry.
And we don't, I am not about that. There is a compliance component to this. There is no doubt we have to protect the public's health and safety, right? So there is always going to be a compliance, but it shouldn't, the general notion shouldn't be this heavy feeling of the state coming down on us. We're really working hard on changing that culture internally, but there's also then a cultural change that has to happen within the industry too. And I think by partnering with folks, opening ourselves up to feedback sessions like this, partnering with schools in particular, because I believe that you are that front line to our future licensees, right? And if we can partner with you and we can drive a better message there and help educate about the process, and that we want folks to be compliant so that we don't have to have a heavy hand, right? Which is why we now know that we're at, you know, it's one of the things that we track, is we are tracking what our compliance rate is, because I want to celebrate that of our 12,000 establishments in the state, 91% of them are compliant. That's what we should be celebrating. It's been an awesome 19 months, but I do have to slow down a little bit. Otherwise, Rose is going to quit, and I can't have Rose quit.
We've asked our investigators, who are also our inspectors, right, to educate as much as possible when they're out with the people, right? So, it, you know, we are trying to make good change.
Good.
I have a funny story, but the inspector came in and she said, where do you post how you mix disinfectant? That's how you would mix. You can follow the directions on the label. And she said, no, it needs to be posted. And I thought, I'm a good student of this. And I said, no, I think you're wrong. Of course, you're fighting the fan that feeds you. And manages. She said, no. And she sits down and she finds R410112, which is basically the salon inspection. A salon shall do all of these things. And R410111 times says you will post this. So now, not only post this, every time she comes in, I says, you know, I framed that for you. And I tell the students that I called you out on. But that's where they do tell you to use an EPA registered disinfectant mixed in accordance. But I think the problem is, and we should get, and I think the world's changing so quickly, the publishers are in trouble. They're writing these tomes of science and then selling them to us for $350. And then we sit in class and the anatomy chapter in the nail book has all 13 or 11 or 14 systems of the body. I need to know muscles and bones of the hands and the arms, which is even a push that I need to know the names of these things to rub on them. But 13 systems of the body are in the nail book. And some schools are studying this. The aesthetic pass rate, it is all public knowledge under PCSHQ. You can look at every school in the state and see the pass rate. The aesthetic pass rate is 50% on average across the state. What's happening? Why are schools that have a 30% pass rate in the mail still schools? How are they allowed to remain open when 3 out of 10 students are passing? So the pass rates are wrong. The clarity of being clean is so clear. Wash, disinfect, sterilize. Don't bury it in 47 pages worth of diplococci, staphylococci, and E. coli. It doesn't matter whether it's germs, they're everywhere. You can't see them. As I've found a new pitch, I really kind of like it. I equated to a student having sat in the exit aisle on a plane. That says when you're in an exit aisle, you've taken on a special responsibility. And they will go and say, do you know you have a special responsibility? Do you accept that? I will need a verbal report. But I said, you understand cleaning and disinfection, you are in a special seat to protect yourself and the public. You commit to wash your hands. You commit to. Don't ask them what disinfectants are using and say, good. Make them show you they know how to mix it. Because they don't. It's a pretty broad paintbrush, but nobody's mixing the disinfectant. They're not reading the directions. If you give them 3 measuring cups and a vessel that holds a gallon, they can't measure. So I say, you need to measure it or you don't graduate, or you show me your manager who's going to do it for you. So I think your inspection rules should include not only what disinfected, but can you show me that it's mixed properly? Then we would assure more public safety. So we go through and I'm kind of there and I say, I don't need a verbal yes. And I go around the room and they all have to say yes. Kind of fun, but I think it's driving home the message. We're confused in what's responsible. It's a pretty simple thing. It's not easy. It's habit. And we're really broken. So I'm glad, I think we're broken. I'm glad you're pushing it back to a simplicity, but the simplicity can be complex. It's like the atom. The more you break it down, the bigger it gets.
Yeah.
All right. Agreed. It tends to be smaller when we look into germs, but I don't need to know the name. The textiles, I think, Milady and Pivot Point have a rude awakening in the next 5 years.
I'll give another analogy on that same tune. What my other big push from basically day one, and Rosa will tell you because she's the one that's been here with me since day one, is she was here before me, but with me, I am as an organization, we are laser focused on health and safety regulations. That is what we are driving to. We want to be focused on health and safety and not on business practices. Because, and it's public information because it was in a board meeting. We, for years, I don't know how long, because nobody's really been able to answer the question. We have been regulating things that are good business practices. You as an individual business owner should be doing these things, but we have required them for licensure in this organization. And I will, the example is the Secretary of State trademark requirement. And it is the single biggest pain point for us to issue licensure for an establishment. It is the single, we are at about a 30 to 33% incomplete application rate. Solely because of the Secretary of State requirement, which is not, has no statutory requirement, but is in the regulations. So we're getting very, which also happens to have zero health and safety on an individual getting their nails done, has zero health and safety on an individual getting their hair services performed, right? So we're, that, those are the things that we are looking at removing from regulation. So that we can focus on health and safety. Now, I understand from some staff that have some history, the reason they put that in there was so that they could correlate the license name to something, right? And what we're now saying is, but we are licensing establishments by their address. We know as long as it's that address, it's at that location, that's their license, period. It is based on that. So again, it's those types of things, and we're making that shift really hard to getting to focusing. As we're doing that, though, that simplistic manner does tend to get bigger in a sense, right? So you start to focus and realize, oh, It does create this. So we're doing things like the self-inspection sheet so that folks know, these are the things that we're going to be looking at. These are very, honestly, it's very basic stuff. It's a very health, safety, sanitation related stuff. It's not things that, I mean.
And if you ever want a copy of our statutes and rules, they're actually on our website under the resources tab. It'll take you right to them. Have fun reading. But they are there.
That was there.
I don't know anybody who goes to the legal, but you end up hearing from someone, oh, you have to place this outside your door to do your mailing. That's a thing. Having a checklist, I think, will be very, very helpful. And don't worry, the students, I have know about that training thing because I had to go through it.
Yep.
So now I tell them how to do it that way, because I had to call and I had to figure it out. I had to, you know, because we moved locations. And so I had to do the whole thing over again. And so once you do it and you learn, then you can have on your.
We're hoping by next April, you know.
It's not in the document in his hands. I will tell you that.
It's a great business practice for people to still do. It protects your brand. It protects your business. It's a great thing. Not anything we need to require.
But it is good for people to know who do in the industry who want to be heard. Again, like, what does that mean to you? I think it's a good practice to teach them, but yes, it is not required.
Shouldn't be a requirement of licensure. That's the distinction, right? Is it should not be that requirement for licensure.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Very well.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming. Thanks for driving. Tucson, I assume, or? Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. I'm going to take you again.
Oh.
At the chain.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're Rosie.
That Rosa.
I'm Morgan. Thanks for being here.
I'm Morgan. I'm Kelly.
Nice to meet you, Morgan.
Thank you.
Awesome all over.
Yeah. What do you guys do?
Like a research mission, but also lash extension.
Oh. Awesome.
Decade.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been doing lash extensions for over a decade now. I originally went to cosmetology school in Minnesota. But before that, it like wasn't regulated. So like I did train my beauty instructors and like all these types of things. So it's really interesting hearing about the reciprocity, like coming here as a cosmetologist and switching that over and being like, oh wow.
Yeah,
it seems so interesting. And then, you know, as well as how it's changing regarding the eyelash extensions and training and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fascinating for sure. But thanks for sharing your personal opinion, because I think it helps us relate to you more versus understanding you as a robot figure, right?
Exactly.
So I appreciate that. It builds that relation. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Is that okay if I leave my card with you guys?
Sure.
Would that be easy to help? I don't even know. But it's always fun to.
Well, if we ever are doing new roles, right? And we want an opinion.
Yes. And I love that you had mentioned that. You know, you guys are going to send up an email to the licensee.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that's always like a fearful being like, oh, they're not going to send it out because you just have to pay attention type of thing. So
right.
Go and check. And so there's lots of little myths and fears as like influencers on social media, right? Regarding the lash world.
We would love any positive comments you give us, because we know there are Facebook groups out there for different industries that give us a lot of negative and actually put out a lot of misinformation.
Exactly.
And then we get called and we're like, that's actually not correct.
Yeah.
So we are going to try to do our own Facebook page with our boards. It'll be public.
Oh, that'd be
so
awesome.
We can put correcting.
Regulate what being said on there. I love that idea. I think.
Well, we should be the ones putting out, like, we should be the ones putting out the information about the eyelash stuff. There shouldn't be some individual who think, I mean,
their interpretation of it.
Right, like, because that's not.
We only know things get posted because all of a sudden we get either comments in the inbox or a call.
And we're like, all of a sudden it's like fire.
Yeah, and we're like, what happened?
We spent in August, I don't even remember what it was on, but there was somebody posted something in multiple Facebook.
There was something in June, I remember. I was on a cruise and there was a few lashers like resharing what had been said on the Facebook group because it was all raising a bunch of red flags.
Yep. And
so we're all like, what?
And then, I literally, Heather, Isabel, and I, Kelly, we spent almost an entire day putting that fire out.
I'm sure because I know some of my friends directly called you and they got clarifications and she had made a reel about the misinformation originally, so then other people started doing it too. And so then she had to retract what she did because as influencers, like, we have to be like, we know what we're saying.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting because then we all started like trying to recorrect people.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, frick.
Yeah.
We appreciate it because we're like, this is incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Great to know. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.